Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Happy Friday, September 3rd. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel all here as we are in the final week before we get into the regular season of the NFL.
We're less than a week away from actual football.
Daniel, always there to spice things up. We got a huge show today. You know why it's huge?
I don't know.
We got two
fantasy
stars.
Royalty on the show.
Yes, we will have a fantasy royalty interview, and we also have fantasy royalty on the show every single day. That's Stefania Bell, and today is the Stefania Bell injury update show. Nobody, and I mean nobody, not one single person in the world does their job at a higher level than Stefania analyzing injuries. We cannot wait to get all the latest because there are a lot of players that either had health issues last season that are still lingering or have dealt with something this preseason. We'll get all the intel from Stefania. But first, Matthew, you may notice that right now, one of us is wearing a t-shirt that is of the school of a team that has a chance to be excellent in football this year. Excellent, I tell you.
That's correct.
The Fightin' Jeff Hafley is of Boston College, baby. Yeah. What can you tell us about why we're all wearing college gear?
So we are celebrating College Colors Day, which of course means I'm repping Syracuse. Yes. I went to Syracuse. I don't really want to say the year. It was a long time ago, but whatever. Go Cuse. And of course, I don't know if we... So anyone that's watching at home or watching on the feed, I'm also... And I grew up in College Station, Texas. My dad's still a professor at Texas A&M University, so... I got a mug here trying to celebrate both them. But in essence, the 17th annual College Colors Day takes place today, September 3rd, as an unofficial kickoff to the college football season. Field Yates, College Colors Day, an annual call for fans everywhere to unite and throwing their fandom and celebrate the passion and tradition unique to college. So we're asking everyone to show off how you're repping your school on social media. You can use the hashtag College Colors Day. And Field, you're wearing Boston College.
I am, yes. My wife, obviously, proud Boston College graduate, also an outstanding athlete.
Yeah, D1 athlete.
D1 field hockey player and now coaching field hockey. So proud of her for all that she's doing to be a part of that community. And I'm telling you, do not, and I swear you better not do this, do not sleep on Jeff Hafley, the Boston College football coach, and this team this year. I got a star quarterback, transfer from Notre Dame 2 seasons ago, tough on defense. And I'm just telling you, the ACC, Zay Flowers, baby, don't sleep on him. Wide receiver, he'll be playing in the NFL just a couple of years from now.
This is me not sleeping on him. So, Stefania, was it tough deciding the 8 billion schools you've gone to who to rep?
Well, you just think it was, but I figured since Miami is playing in a huge game against Alabama, I'm sure Alabama is nervous, shaking in their boots. That is the opener this weekend, Miami, Alabama. So I'm here to support the U.
Can I have an impersonation from you, Matt?
Plus, it's an injury show. Yes. And I did get my physical therapy degree from the University of Miami.
So
I
thought
maybe that would be, you know, symbiotic.
You might be good today, finally. Yeah.
Daniel, you take that back right now.
Oh, please. She can come at me from the top rope, but when I come at her one time during the entire preseason, I'm the bad guy.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right, well, thank welcome you to the world.
And let's play some trivia, Daniel.
But who are you repping,
Daniel?
Oh, I'm
repping Central Michigan University. I grew up right down the street from Central Michigan. It's about 25 minutes from where I grew up in Midland, Michigan. So big CMU fan. Go Chippewas.
So a couple of things here. Our producer, Matt Harrington, notes this, and it's actually a great point. So we have this really cool thing at ESPN. There's a walkway that leads into the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And on the top and the bottom of the walkway, there's a panel.
Yes.
And you can touch any of the 117 Division I football programs. I know they don't call it D1 in football, but the point is, any of those 117 schools, you touch the logo and it plays their fight song while you're walking up or down that ramp. I am told by Matt that Central Michigan has a tremendous fight song. Also, Daniel, we played a little game of trivia yesterday involving Central Michigan. Who is probably their most well-known NFL alumni? Who would you say is the most well-known Central Michigan player?
Antonio Brown.
Right. I would agree with that, though they did have a number one pick as well in Eric Fisher back in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But for one season, Antonio Brown shared a locker room with another future NFL star. Do you know who that is, Matthew?
I mean, he shared a locker room with Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Ben went to Miami of Ohio,
right,
but I'm just saying, like, you asked me who did he share a locker room with. Like,
at CMU.
At Central Michigan.
Oh, at CMU. Who did he? Future, no, that I don't know. Sorry.
Dare I say
Stefania?
Future Hall of Famer.
You know, a future, and he was
no idea.
A raw but talented tight end in Central Michigan.
Do it, Field.
Justin James Watt.
J.J. Wow.
Watt. J.J. Watt started nice his pull. College That's career right. at CMU. So nice how about pull. That? Two players in the same era from CMU going on to become, I mean, literally the best at their respective positions for about a decade.
Yeah, man.
Pretty ridiculous. I did not know that. That's a nice pull, Field Yates. Well done there. Anyway, if you want to go to collegecolorsday.com weekly during the season, you can enter for a chance to win your favorite team's gear and tickets to the 2022 College Football National Championship in Indianapolis, you know, and obviously if you can't get there in person, you can watch it on ESPN. Yes. But hey, anyway, thank you, College Colors Day. So Very excited cool. and go Cuse, go Aggies, Giga Maggies.
All right, the last piece of news that I guess I wasn't aware that I was allowed to say this part publicly now is when we say we're talking to Fantasy Royalty today, we don't have to tease it any longer.
Right, sure.
Christian McCaffrey. Oh, that's yeah. right. As Woo-hoo. In like. The best player in fantasy football is in the consensus 1.01 pick this year in fantasy football. Will be joining us here in about 30 or so minutes here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. We cannot wait to have CMC on the show. And, of course, it's a great honor. He will be brought to us by Body Armor, who, of course, is a big supporter of us every single day. It's part of the reason why when people think about the great athletes these days, they talk about Christian McCaffrey, they talk about Matthew Berry, two people yeah. that indulge in lots of body armor.
That very true. Factually correct.
How about
two people that help fantasy managers quite a bit in different ways? Christian McCaffrey
they do the opposite
me.
Of whatever you tell them to do.
Right. Yes.
And they draft Christian McCaffrey.
Obviously. Right. There you go. Got exactly.
It. Yes.
Yeah. I tell them what to fade. What
that's
to,
the
yeah.
only time you and Christian McCaffrey will ever be mentioned in the same sentence is doing we're both, something we're both like human each beings. Other.
We're both human beings.
Yes.
It's questionable. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, we both breathe air. We have a lot of common.
You have goo in your knees, Snickers.
I do have snickerdoodles.
So we can't say yeah. for sure you're human. But since it's college day, yeah. let's give a shout out to Stanford. Christian McCaffrey's an alum of Stanford.
Yes,
also
he is.
In the Bay Area. And my dad worked at Stanford, so I got a yes. connection to Stanford because, of course, I do.
Yeah, of course you do. Stefania has a connection to every single college that ever existed.
Right. I thought Stanford was the city about 45 minutes southwest of us here
I
in
was
Connecticut.
Just gonna say that.
Is that
yeah.
not?
My oldest son lives there. Yeah.
Stanford. It's
oh, Stanford.
And
Stanford.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my wife grew up there. My wife really? Grew up in Stanford. Yeah.
How about that? Stanford yeah. and
Your
Stanford,
Stanford
both
Connecticut.
Doing big things.
Our wife, Stefania,
our
mean
wife.
You.
Our wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be clear.
All right, let's get into the injuries, and we start with quarterback. Seems like the only place to start. And Stefania, we have been talking about Dak Prescott basically every offseason for the past three. First, it was 2 years of contract negotiations. This year, it was the update on not just his contract, but also his ankle, which was basically shattered in week 5 of last year. But it's not just the ankle that we've been discussing in the preseason. It's also the shoulder. We're 6 days away from the start of the Cowboys season. What is your concern level surrounding Dak Prescott's health?
It's really zero. I have Ooh. No concern about Dak Prescott's health. His latest MRI is clean, shows that he's fully healed. He's been letting it loose in practice. I think the biggest thing for him is he just wants to get back on the playing field. And they open. Remember, this will be the first game. It'll be a Thursday night game, September 9th. The ankle, as you mentioned, fractured dislocation last year. Obviously, it was traumatic when it happened. But we knew he was on the road to recovery from that because we saw him doing things at OTAs. Even Mike McCarthy said he was a little bit surprised at how good Dak looked then. So you factor in the additional time for that. The reason we didn't see him in the preseason had only to do with resting the lat as he rehabbed from that. But there are no concerns with his shoulder now, nor should there be any lingering issues going into the season.
It's great news there. And as we know, since the start of 2019, Dak Prescott is quarterback 3 in a points per game basis, over 22.5 fantasy points per game. As we've also noted, prior to going down with injury last year, Dak Prescott was on pace for, and this is not a misspeak, 7,000 passing yards. Over 7,000 passing yards last year. He probably would not have kept that pace, but still, the man is an absolute stat-stuffing nightmare for defenses. His ADP right now is quarterback 7. All of us have him even higher than that. Matthew has him all the way up at quarterback 3. Stefania, Joe Burrow has also been discussed plenty this preseason as he tore his ACL and did some other knee damage on November 22nd of 2020 in a game against the Washington football team. How's he progressing?
I think he's been quietly one of the most successful rehab stories of the offseason. As you mentioned, his injury was late. Not only his ACL, but his MCL, part of his PCL, part of his meniscus, a very significant knee injury. And we really didn't know that he'd be on pace to start the season. Then we got a hint from his surgeon in the summer that, yes, indeed, he was on track to start the season. As of training camp, he was still getting used to having traffic around that leg. He told me he wanted to get into preseason action. He wanted to take that first hit. We did see him get preseason action, and he put some of the steps into place, got dressed, went on the field, got the standing ovation, got the adrenaline out, still hasn't taken that contact. You know, he only got the three snaps. So I think there will still be some acclimation to playing real football when he gets out there. But so far, he's shown from the mental side that he can do these two things at once. He can get back to playing football and adjust to having that traffic around his leg. I really like Joe Burrow. I think he's going to gain confidence as the season progresses.
All right, so Matthew, factoring in both the acclimation period that Stefania just referenced and the fact that relative to other quarterbacks, Joe Burrow is not the most athletic, right? He is certainly not a bad athlete. He's just not Kyler Murray or even Daniel Jones or players in between, whether it's a Lamar Jackson. There are a lot of really mobile quarterbacks.
Justin Jalen Herbert. Hurts,
it continues, right?
Yeah.
He feels like a player that certainly could have a really solid season this year. But he was not, if I'm not mistaken, he was not top 10 last year in a season in which he led the NFL in passing attempts per game, which is one of the most helpful stats to getting fantasy points, because the more you throw, volume, the more yards are available. So
sure.
I feel like he's probably on the outside looking in terms of a quarterback that you'd feel really good about walking away with as your starter in a 10 or 12 team league. Feel any differently about that?
I don't know that I would feel really good. That you wouldn't feel good. Is that what you're saying?
No, like, I'm saying I think you can aim a little higher.
Yes, aim a little higher, 100%. Right. I'm at QB 14. He feels like a waiver wire pickup this year.
Yeah.
Again, assuming a 10 or 12 team, one quarterback league, yep, he feels like a waiver wire pickup this year. Like, we're rooting for Joe Burrow's health. Listen, he's an exciting young player. You hated to see the injury last year. And we need Joe Burrow to be good because of Tyler Boyd and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, all of whom will be drafted this year. And we want that offense to move because of Joe Mixon as well. So I think Joe Burrow's health is important for a lot of fantasy, for the fantasy value of a lot of players. But yes, if he gets the same kind of volume he got last year, and he was a quarterback that was somewhat mobile in college, again, yes, is he Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray? No, he's not. But like, pre-injury, could he have been like, again, Justin Herbert, who had 5 rushing touchdowns last year? Yeah, like, I feel like he's that level of mobile. And so hopefully he gets comfortable with the knee, that he feels confident enough that he runs at least a little bit, and that, you know, he gets the same kind of volume. But at the moment, to me, yes, I agree, he is on the outside looking in terms of starters in one quarterback leagues this year.
One more injury update, or health update, I really should say. That involves Ryan Tannehill, Stefania, who for about a week now has been on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Yeah, the good news is that he's reportedly feeling fine. He's been staying mentally engaged with what they've been doing in practice. I don't think there's really a concern level for his availability of week 1 right now. I think it's just a matter of him using the downtime, essentially, that they have before the first week to get healthy.
And it sounds like the Titans are feeling good about their, you know, they've had a little bit of an outbreak within their organization. A lot of coaches been placed on the COVID list, of course, are not on the list, but have been out of the building because of coming down with COVID. Mike Vrabel missed some time after his bout with COVID. So we hope everybody there in Tennessee gets better soon. But it sounds like all systems go for Ryan Tannehill in week 1, who we kind of continue to feel like is one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks, both in real and fantasy football, and a guy who is about as efficient of a passer as you will find in the league. Let's move forward to running backs. And this, I think, is where people are most interested, Stefania. Let's begin with Saquon Barkley. You have been talking about this one since week 2 of last year when he tore his ACL in a game against the Chicago Bears. But you've had a little bit of a different tune than some others in terms of where Saquon Barkley should be expected to be at early in the season. What's your outlook for him?
Well, I think I've just been following the path of what he's been doing, and what he has been doing is behind, if you will, the pace of some other folks coming back from injury. And it's not that's not negative on him. It's just a reminder that all of these injuries are really relative to that one athlete. So Saquon, as a refresher, towards ACL, MCL, and had meniscus repairs, and that can slow you down. Remember, he didn't have the surgery until almost 6 weeks after he had the initial injury, and that was to let the MCL heal. And then after that, his rehab had to be limited and controlled because of the meniscus repair. So you can get a little bit behind. And he wasn't doing anything in OTAs that we could see. He was mostly focusing on rehab. and he just got cleared to return to team drills within the last week. He had done less than double-digit reps with the team until just yesterday when he was back out in practice and actually getting some contact for the first time. So everything about what he's doing is terrific in terms of how his rehab's being managed. It's just not on the calendar that you would like for fantasy football purposes, knowing week one is coming up just about 9 days away. I think the issue for me when evaluating Saquon Barkley as a running back for my fantasy roster is that I haven't seen the volume of work or the steps that I need to feel comfortable that he's going to hit the ground running and, number one, have the volume I'd like in a top-tier running back, or, number two, not potentially be at risk for a setback if he accelerates that volume too quickly. We saw it happen with Dalvin Cook before. That's my concern for him. One other thing I will say, he spoke to the media yesterday, and a couple of the things that he said I thought were really critical. Okay. One was somebody asked if he felt like he was in football shape, and I'll read it to you. He said, "Do I feel like I'm close? It's been almost 11, 12 months since I've been in a football game, so right now, obviously, there's still some work to do because I've only been practicing for 2 to 3 days." Mm-hmm. His words, not mine. And then the other thing is somebody asked him, you know, if he felt like he was his old self out there, and he said, you know, "I'm very confident," kind of said he'd feel like he'd be able to be his old self again. He goes, "But whether I get asked to come in for one quarter, maybe it might be one play, I think I'll get back to myself." So hints from him that there might be a volume issue early on. And don't forget, the Giants play their opener on Sunday. The following week, they play on a Thursday. So I would expect that if we do see him week one, it's going to be very limited.
So I want to ask this question. Stefania obviously has a little bit of pause here. At what point in the draft are you saying this is too far? And if you're picking 10th in the first round.
Yeah. Oh, that's too far.
That's too far for you?
Yeah.
Eighth in the first round?
That's my spot. Sweet spot is 8. Sweet spot for me is 8. First 5 picks. We've been consistent. 5 other running backs, right? Number 6 for me would be Travis Kelce. And then I think you can have a conversation about Austin Eckler, who Matthew took 6th in our recent mock draft.
Yep.
I prefer in the overall, other than the big 5, right, which I consider obviously Christian McCaffrey, friend of the podcast, Christian McCaffrey, soon to be. Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott. Those 5. My fantasy ride or die, Austin Eckler, which we announced yesterday on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. Other running backs I like more. I like Aaron Jones and Nick Chubb more.
Okay.
I Barkley at 9. And I also would take Adams and Kelce.
So 12 is sort of the spot.
Yes, for
11
me.
Or 12 would be.
I'm as a second rounder.
I'm
that's
okay
correct.
With number 8 overall.
Can I say one more thing? And I think this is the element that fantasy managers need to really consider. There's a chance that he could be available to play week one. How much is he going to play? So the question is going to be for you for the first few weeks, potentially. I have him. He's active. What do I do with Saquon Barkley?
My question will
flip back to you.
Yeah, the answer is if you have Saquon Barkley and he's playing, absent Shefty tweeting, you know, that morning he's going to play 15 snaps, you're playing him. You don't have a choice, right? I mean, that's sort of...
May not know, but I'm just telling you right now that I would not be surprised if he does play week one that it will be less than 15 snaps.
Okay.
So just keep it in mind. Don't say you didn't hear that was a possibility.
It will be less than 15 snaps, or are you saying it?
I think if he does, it will be less. They're playing the Broncos, the toughest defense in the league. This is going to be your first time playing real football against, you know, anyone.
I wouldn't call them the toughest defense in the league, would you?
They're up there.
They're up there, but yeah.
And the Washington football team.
Washington football team.
Yeah, he just wanted us to say the Washington football team. Yeah, okay. Don't worry.
Tampa Bay.
Washington, yeah. Denver. Those are some of the best defenses you will find in the NFL. All right, let's keep things moving here, Stefania, to one that...
But I will tell you, Field, because you and I are part of the ranking crew here.
Yeah.
Like, ranking Saquon Barkley for week one is going to be tough.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be really tough.
Really tough.
Really tough. It's going to be one of those where, like, it's...
And if he's active, like, do you feel like because you've used such a high pick on him, you got to start him?
That's what I was just saying. Like, if absent someone telling me he's playing less than 15 snaps, you're starting him.
Yeah.
You have to. It's Saquon Barkley.
But by the way, that's happened before. We'll talk about this next week. But I'm just saying, like, not on ESPN. I don't believe on ESPN. But there have been times where there's been reports out this guy's playing less, you know, not a lot of snaps. And then that guy goes out and plays a ton of snaps.
I have an idea. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Watch Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, ESPN2, next Sunday. The crew returns. Matt Harrington, our producer, will be there to guide us, and we'll have all the latest on potential things like whether Saquon Barkley will play a full complement of snaps.
True.
So I think one of the injuries that's been under-discussed in the NFL this preseason is DeAndre Swift, Stefania. And maybe it's because we haven't dove
Dived.
Divin.
Thanks, Princeton. Stop it, Daniel. We have not gone that deep on the Lions that frequently other than Double Trouble. But Stefania, DeAndre Swift is dealing with something that his coaches seem to be a little bit concerned about, too.
Yeah, it's a groin injury. It's been there all preseason. I think it's the words from Dan Campbell that have made me a little bit nervous about this, because he expressed concern about DeAndre Swift's conditioning level and that maybe he might not be ready to play week one in coming back from this injury. And what it's hard to know whether that was sort of a motivational sprinkle of words to kind of encourage to see more from him before week one, or whether there's legit concern about whether he'll be able to play. But as of right now, I still think it's a question mark.
Okay, that's fascinating right there. So Matthew, what was it, the chicken player?
Chicken. So, I believe it was Urban Meyer.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, Jim Harbaugh. You're right. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh. When I was getting Michigan Ohio State mix up. Sorry.
That was nice.
I know. Yes.
Fans were like, "Oh, you're talking about Urban Meyer."
Here's what it was. I thought my favorite Washington football team quarterback
is Tony Romo.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you that.
Listen,
much.
I thought for a second there, what happened is I had a brain fart moment there where I just thought college coach, Big Ten, and I link Michigan and Ohio State in my mind, obviously, right, because of such an intense rivalry between those two schools, of course. And so, anyway, for whatever reason, Urban Meyer instead of Jim Harbaugh. You were correct. It is Jim Harbaugh when he as coach of the Wolverines. He said basically that he didn't want any of his football players to eat chicken because chicken's a nervous bird.
Right.
And so I used to do this year I didn't do. It's a great quote. And so when I would do my 10 list of 10, and I didn't get a chance to do it this year. It's a long story as to why. But and we did 100 facts. I used to do my 10 chicken players. That made me nervous. Like, right, do I think they're good? Yeah. Should they be ranked where they are? But they make me nervous. Saquon would have been one of my chicken players this year.
How about DeAndre Swift?
DeAndre Swift is actually not one of my chicken players. I drafted him last night.
Yeah.
In our show league, because stupid squirrel over there
yeah,
had the pick ahead of me and kept snaking me. Wait, I'll tell you what he did to me. He took Chris Carson from me. Yeah. He's Scott Clarked me. He doesn't like Chris Carson, but he knows I do. So it's just like, oh, Matthew needs a running back. It's coming up next here. It was a super flex league, so we're in the third round. Chris Carson should have fallen to me. It's still well above his ADP in a super flex. But
I got
to
tell you,
this one, stupid squirrel, just is like sniper squirrel.
My girlfriend Rosie and I were driving during this draft, and as soon as the pick came up, I turned and looked at Rosie, and she doesn't know what's going on. And I was like, Matthew's going to be pissed. Watch this.
And
then I took Chris Carson, and it was everything that I was hoping for.
Here's what I would say. I was in a room with like five of the guys, like, you know, Damien, the Statapillar, Kevin Pulsifer, who does research for us, does a great job.
He does a great job.
Clutch, Dennis Reno is in the room. Anyway, so a bunch of the guys on the show, and I literally slammed my fist down, and I said two words. Yep. The first one was mother. Yep. And I'm not going to say what the second word was. I'm going to let you use
Mother Dop is what you said, because Mama Dop, huge fan of the podcast.
But I'm just going to let you
fill that in.
Yeah, let your imagination run wild with that, and then probably about 20 seconds of cursing you out.
And then the other
annoying thing is that so I'm like cursing you out, right? I'm cursing. Hang on for a second. I'm cursing Daniel out.
He's cursing me out.
I'm MFing him to like everyone in the league, and like
what
he did that to. I'll explain it after the show. So I'm cursing him out, and I'm like, he did that on purpose. He's doing that just to mess with me. He doesn't even want Chris Carson. He knows how much I love Chris Carson, blah, 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 blah. And then I hear from the computer screen, hurry up, make your pick. Just like my voice haunts me.
That's amazing.
Because when you play on ESPN, you hear my voice, and it's just like, and I'm like, yeah, I know. And it's like super annoying. And
that's so great.
I apologize to everyone.
Now you know how the rest of the world feels.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Moving
so anyway,
on.
So the end of that story is I took DeAndre Swift, partially to get back at Daniel, but partially because I have a lot of Jamal Williams as well. I do think the Lions will run effectively, or at least I take that back. I do think the Lions will have fantasy-relevant running backs in a significant way. I think DeAndre Swift is obviously a talented player, and I think the way that they don't have a lot of pass catchers. I think there's going to be a lot of dump-offs to both. Both Swift and Williams are very good pass catchers. That's a team that's going to be trailing a lot, throwing a lot. He's not a chicken player for me.
Right, he's a chicken player for me, and the reason why is, like, I'm a little nervous that you said there's going to be a lot of dump-offs. There could be a lot of punts, too. That's what I'm nervous about in Detroit this year. I'm sorry, Daniel. I don't mean to say that. I just
Not in the fourth quarter. Objective. Not Jack against Fox, the third right? string. Yeah.
Jack Fox, baby. He'll be busy. All right, let's keep moving here. And a couple more.
But it also, it's also one of the reasons why. But do you like Jamal Williams?
I do, yes.
Yeah, as a late run sleeper, you and I both.
Better pass catcher and obvious passing down situations and even less obvious ones. I think we'll be playing a whole bunch this
By the
season.
Way, yeah, and there's a lot of pro Jamal Williams facts in my 100 facts column that is out on ESPN.com right now. It is free to read, by the way, 100% free to read.
I read 97 of them.
Fine.
Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. To get peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technology, and even ingredients. When it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gumout with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. It's also their newest technology. Think of it like this. You've evolved your stat tracking. It's not just catches, yards, and touchdowns, right? You're tracking targets, yak, and even DVOA now. So why not evolve your car's performance too? In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. And it's not hard to find. You can get it all at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running right with Gumout, now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
Do you own and rent your home?
No.
Do you own or rent your home?
Yes.
Yes, Fielder Yates. Sure you do. If I had asked Matthew, he would have said yes to the first one.
And I'll bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Back to the running backs. And Stefania is like, who's that magician that always changes at halftime of NBA shows? Or NBA halftimes? Whoever that person is, that's who Stefania is. She changes outfits in a moment's notice.
Right.
She's now watching wearing Princeton gear.
I felt like I had to spread the love.
Okay, time to spread the love. Let's go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Stefania in Kansas City, who got banged up in the team's preseason game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, a right ankle sprain. Andy Reid said immediately afterward that he was told it was not of the high ankle sprain variety. So I think this is not a serious injury, but you weren't going to see Edwards-Helaire after that just to protect him for the rest of the season. I don't think this is going to be a long ongoing issue.
Would agree with that. Worth noting, the Chiefs kept just three running backs on their roster at the outset of the 53-man roster building process. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a little bit of a confusing player to rank only because he had such a down season last year, but we all believe that he'll be a better runner. We do think the offensive line will be much improved, and the pass catching will come around this year. There were some games last year where it felt like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be a breakout star, and then it was followed up by a less inspiring performance. I expect a much more consistent Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. I'm not totally convinced, though, those touchdowns are going to come. They just have so many other options, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire does a lot of things great. He's not a super big, powerful guy. Let's go to Chicago, Stefania, and there's two injured running backs, one of them more significant in Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, I think Tariq Cohen's the one to talk about because he had the ACL tear, that was in week three. So again, look at these running backs who had ACL injuries early last season who still aren't quite where they need to be. And Tariq Cohen starting the season on the physically unable to perform list. So as we talked about the other day, that means he's going to miss at least six games. And because he's not practicing, we don't really know where he is in terms of how close he will be to playing football. So again, that 6 week time period doesn't necessarily mean he comes out and he's ready to play at that point.
Yeah, it sounds like this one could be a while. They have given us really no substantial update on Tariq Cohen's progress. But how about David Montgomery, Stefania, another guy who left a preseason game, but if there's ever a time where a team will be exceedingly cautious, it would be a preseason game.
Yeah, I think that they feel pretty good about David Montgomery's health. It was just a question of keeping him away from anything further in the preseason.
I'm in on David Montgomery. I think he's going to be a much better player than some believe. I think late last season specifically, was not a fluke. In the interest of time, we're going to keep things moving here to the wide receivers.
Super weird. It's super weird, though. It's interesting, right? Because Dave Montgomery made my hate list, right?
He's one of my love players. And we're in the same spot.
Is he one of, yeah, we both have him ranked 17.
It feels like
we're both lower than he's going as running back 16.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like there's some pessimism surrounding David Montgomery.
Sure.
There has been all offseason.
By the way,
and I are just collectively so smart, and so are the fans.
Right, but isn't the pessimism baked in? Like, I mean, this is a guy that was a top six fantasy running back last year.
I mean, I guess.
He's going
I
mean, he's going
to 16. I don't speak ill about him.
Do you guys, you both have him at 17?
Yeah.
We both have him at 17.
Do you want to do a board bet and on anything MB other than RB 17, you both lose?
Okay.
That sounds like a good board bet for me, guys. How about you?
Yeah, I like that. Okay. Nod.
Cool. Wait, I want to be in on the. Yeah, okay, all right. Both lose. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do. How about this? Of these apples.
How about them apples?
No, these. These. Okay. How about these apples?
How do you like this apple?
Yeah.
Is that what the line was?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, do you like pears? How about this pear?
How about
right?
This
I think that's the line.
How about orange because you're from Syracuse?
Oh, orange. Yeah, oh, exactly. Oh, there you go. Nice. Well done.
Wow, nice.
Well done. Nice pull. I say DeAndre Swift has more fantasy points this year than David Montgomery.
I just injected that one right into my veins. I say David Montgomery has more fantasy points this year than DeAndre Swift. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
So much better than the drop. You just doing that.
That was that good.
So Daniel is the only person who wears Croc boots, or Ugg boots, excuse me. Well, I guess it's now September, but it makes them look so awesome. You are the Tom Brady of ESPN. All right, let's keep things moving here to the wide receivers. Kenny Galladay.
Wow, that's not true on any possible level.
Wow. The Tom Brady of ESPN?
Yeah, not close at any level.
Why not?
I mean, how long do you have?
You're right.
Well, let me start here.
That's fair.
Recently, we have really quickly, but I recall a few days ago, Daniel wore this T-shirt on Fun Shirt Friday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it said 144.9 to 119.7.
I saw that clip.
Right. Did you see that clip?
Interestingly enough,
I did.
If I'm not mistaken, Daniel. Yeah.
That was the one time he got lucky. That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
the
like Tom
one
Brady
time got Daniel lucky. Got lucky.
Okay, anyways, let's move along here. Kenny Galladay, Stefania.
If everyone that beat me in fantasy one time was the GOAT, was the Tom Brady of wherever, we'd have a lot of Tom Bradys. There's only one Tom Brady.
There is only one Tom Brady. All right, Stefania, let's get into the wide receivers because we do have to get to our interview with Christian McCaffrey shortly. Let's begin with Kenny Galladay, though, Stefania, who I fear I need to adjust my ranking on. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury for much training camp.
Right. I mean, really, we haven't seen him. Now, he did return to practice Wednesday and Thursday, and there is some improvement, but it's certainly not a glowing, clean bell of health. That was his first time practicing since the first week of August. So we don't really know exactly where he stands. As I mentioned, Giants are coming into a tough game against the Broncos for their opener. Kenny Galladay, somebody they invested significantly in, even though last year he didn't play the last eight games of the season because of a hip injury. But we felt pretty good about them making that decision because Galladay spent a couple days with the Giants. Medical staff had a chance to put their hands on him and evaluate him, and they were very comfortable with where he was. But a hamstring injury in training camp is problematic for everyone. And we know that there's a high risk of recurrence of injury for hamstring injuries, especially at the wide receiver position. So I'm definitely a little bit nervous about the way Galladay is starting the season. And while we're on the New York Giants receivers, Kadarius Toney, undisclosed injury, hasn't practiced much. Darius Slayton, day-to-day with an ankle issue. And John Ross on IR with a hamstring injury. He's no stranger to that.
I think people, by the way, might be wondering, and they are... Your instincts are correct. Bigfoot just sneezed in our studio, if you heard that, in the middle of Stefania's Kenny Galladay answer. Good grief, Daniel.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got Kenny Galladay ranked too high. Wide receiver 25. I got to adjust that into the 30s. He would be a chicken player for me, too.
Yes, 1,000%. Listen, he was on my hate list. Yeah, he's 1,000% he would be a chicken player.
Hurt right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Inconsistent over the course of his career. He's played in 36 games since 2018. He's got four or fewer catches in 20 of those 36 games.
Yeah.
Third thing, his quarterback's not very good, man.
True.
His quarterback, and I get it preseason, but like some of the stuff that Daniel Jones has struggled with and the offensive line has struggled tremendously. Like, I'm nervous about them. Kenny Galladay moving down in my ranks. All right, Stefania.
Yeah. But if there's an argument for him, like, he's dropping so far. Like, I got him, I want to say, like, in the league we were in last night, the show league, and again, it's a super flex league, but like, I got him, I think, in the 11th or 12th round. Like, it was one of those things where it was just like, well, all right, well, stop it. This is just like, because, like, again, like, is he talented? Yes. Did they sign him to a massive contract? Yes. Do I think he gets the kind of target share he got in Detroit? No. But by the way, he was wide receiver 12 when that happened. You know what I mean? Like, so he's, I actually think the hate has gone, like, people don't want to touch him with a 10-foot pole. And I'm just, Like, there comes a point in the draft where you're just like, all right, well, this is just stupid. But again, I'm at wide receiver 32. I agree with you. I think you are too high on him at 25.
Let's try to rip through some of these injuries here, Stefania. Odell Beckham Jr. coming back from a torn ACL suffered last year as well.
Yeah, his was week 7. But think about this. As we're talking about guys like Tariq Cohen and Saquon Barkley who weren't doing much of anything, in Tariq Cohen's case, nothing, during training camp, Odell Beckham Jr. was participating in OTAs after ACL tear in week 7. Now, his was an isolated ACL. He did not have other ligament damage, but still, his rehab has been very smooth. He's been working diligently, and his progressive work volume has just steadily increased through camp. They did not have him play in the preseason, which I think was a smart move just for overall health, but he is fully expected to be ready to go week 1.
All right, Matthew, we've said this before. Odell Beckham Jr. is perhaps the trickiest player in the entire league to rank this year. What's your outlook?
I'm at wide receiver 37. And he's currently going as wide receiver 25, so I'm out on Odell. I'm just, you know, it's gonna be hard.
Name value,
look,
right?
Like, if you took away the name Odell Beckham Jr. and you somehow could erase the one-handed catch on Sunday Night Football, you know, in his rookie year, right? And just like, if you just went by the numbers of him since he's been in Cleveland,
right?
He's wide receiver 39 on a points per game basis.
How many times right? has he gone over 100 yards?
Two. He's had 200-yard games, right? I mean, like, he has missed a ton of games due to health. And when he's been out there, it's not like one of those things that's like, oh, if he could only stay healthy, because when he's healthy, he's producing. Like, wide receiver 39. And it's not like he just showed up in Cleveland. Like, this is his third or fourth season in Cleveland?
Third season in Cleveland, yep.
I mean, so he's had 2 years in Cleveland. He's played 23 games with the Browns. That's a decent size sample. 23 games, he's wide receiver 39 on a points per game basis.
I've got him at 34, so you and I both well behind where he is being drafted. All right,
so you know, and I could I be proven wrong? Of course, because we know the talent is there. But I'm, you know, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, three times, four times, shame on me.
I thought it was fool me once, but we'll let him slide. Stefania, Courtland Sutton tore his ACL last year as well in week 2. What can you tell
us? How do you like this apple?
Yeah, you know, Courtland Sutton is really an example of how you want to see a player progress from this type of injury. ACL, MCL tear in week 2. And remember, he'd only played a few snaps because he missed the week 1 game because of a shoulder injury. So he goes down in week 2. And we saw him making steady progress through training camp. He was still wearing a brace, which he is going to likely do at least for the foreseeable future. But it doesn't appear to be slowing him down in any way. If you saw him in that preseason game, the video clip I posted where he made a plant and cut, very quick change of direction, has to decelerate on that. Those are very particular things that stress that graft replacement in the knee. And he showed that he felt comfortable doing that. And I think it helped him gain confidence in his knee. Those are huge factors for returning to football. Again, he and Saquon Barkley tore their ACL and MCL the same week. I just present that as a comparison of how injuries can be very, very different for different players.
I think if you were 100%, well, he is, or he's getting there, but if I knew that he was going to be his normal self, there's probably a pretty compelling case for him to be ranked higher than 27th, where I have him amongst wide receivers. The only two things that sort of work against Courtland Sutton, Matthew, are one, he's got a lot of other pass catchers in that offense that are really good. Jerry Jeudy's going to be a much improved player, and obviously Noah Fant's going to be an even further improved player. KJ Hamler is a speed demon. Love him as a lottery ticket.
Tim Patrick was good last year
when
he got on the field.
Is good. I thought Tim Patrick might generate some action as a restricted free agent this past offseason. And the quarterback play. It's okay. It's okay. It's
sure
like average, slightly below average. Otherwise, he could be a top 15, top 14. Like, if you put him in Chicago with Justin Fields and there was no Allen Robinson, I'd be like, holy cow, right? He would be maybe not quite Allen Robinson, but we talk about him in a very different vein.
We would be. To me, the argument for Courtland Sutton is threefold.
Okay.
Super talented. I don't think any of us disagree that, like, the guy can play.
Yep.
The guy can flat out play. Number two is, I think he's quarterback proof. He's quarterback proof. Like, I think he is a good enough talent that, like, we've seen him be productive with, like, Paxton Lynch. I mean, like, you know, in Trevor Siemian. Like, I mean, think about some of the guys the Broncos have rolled out there in previous years. And then the third thing here is that while Jeudy may get more volume, who do you think ends up the year with more touchdowns, assuming health for both guys?
Yeah.
I'd argue it's Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, it's
I think
close.
It's just a bigger red zone target. Like, coin, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to listen, I like Jeudy quite a bit as well. This is not an anti-Jerry Jeudy comment. I have both guys ranked pretty close to each other. But I just think when you go into drafts, Jeudy has a lot more buzz than Cortland Sutton. I think Cortland Sutton might be the better value right now.
I think his ADP is actually a little bit ahead of Jerry Jeudy's, believe it or
really?
Not. Yeah.
That's a mistake.
Well, they're very close if it's not ahead. So I think players.
He's currently going as wide receiver 31. He's going in the ninth round.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. That's where Sutton is going. I don't know Judy's ADP off the top of my head. I thought Jeudy was going a little bit higher than that. I've certainly seen Jeudy raise recently. There's definitely some buzz around him.
You don't have the wide receiver ADPs memorized?
Wow. I don't.
Mike you know Clay what? Knows them.
I don't.
That's okay, though, because, Matthew, if you need help getting ready for your drafts, you and I just did a last-minute get-ready-for-your-draft fantasy show.
We did on ESPN Plus. Sorry, my wife is calling me.
Of course she is. Of course. I'll text her.
Yeah, would you? Appreciate. You and Stefania both text her.
Yeah.
Matthew's working.
It's a good
all
chat.
Right, but you know what? That's correct. We just did last-minute draft advice, sleepers and busts, a show on ESPN Plus. Really great episode. You get to see Daniel in a onesie.
Yeah.
And by the way, one of the ways, there's a couple ways to get ESPN Plus. You could just subscribe to ESPN Plus. Great. Understood.
Awesome.
But,
yeah.
You know, for just a couple bucks more, not a lot more money, you could subscribe to rotopass.com, get a full year of ESPN Plus, and then five other great premium fantasy football websites that I personally use, that I recommend, that have amazing draft software, in-season tools, in-season management tools, customized ranks and analysis, and free agent pickups, you know, everything you possibly need for your league. You set what your settings of your league are,
okay,
and it'll tell you everything you need to do throughout the season, all sorts of great articles, DFS lineup optimizers, whether you play best ball, Debbie, Dynasty, two quarterbacks, super flex, half point PPR, punter leagues. If you're in a punter league, I played in a punter league once.
You need to get out more.
You are a punter league.
You need to get out more.
welcome my world. Anyway, rotopass.com, it is absolutely crucial. People, we have like a 95% retention rate because when people subscribe to it and they realize what a great bargain it is, they come back year after year. Use the promo code 0600 to get 10% off.
I just picture a bunch of old guys in helmets doing a punter leagues and the football field back and forth to each other. Not like fantasy punters.
No, just
like a punter league.
I thought I was the only one who got that visual, and you and I at the same time.
Sure.
Oh, wait.
We should do a punter league here on the show.
We should do a punter league.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. All right.
Okay.
We need to, we have 5 minutes until Christian McCaffrey joins us on the podcast, and we got a couple of ads to read before that time. So, Stefania, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you just rip through these injury updates, give us as much context as you can, and we'll react with whatever time we have left prior to the Christian McCaffrey interview.
Alrighty, so let's start with a grouping of wide receivers you've already sort of know, but we're going to reiterate. Michael Thomas on the physically unable to perform list after having ankle surgery in June, had a very significant ankle injury. The good news is now that he's had it repaired, he should be great and not have setbacks once he comes back. We expect that he may be back in week 7 after the Saints bye week. On the Jags, DJ Chark and Marvin Jones both out with injuries. DJ Chark fractured his finger, had surgery in early August, missed most of the preseason. Marvin Jones had an AC sprain in a preseason game. I think it was the second preseason game. Urban Meyer yesterday updating, saying both of those players expected to be available for week 1. T.Y. Hilton starts the season on injured reserve because of a disc injury in his neck, and he underwent a procedure which apparently alleviated his symptoms right away. Now it's just a matter of recovering from that.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's good information. We'll see on Michael Thomas in terms of the updates, Stefania. How about DJ Chark and Marvin Jones in Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah, I just did that.
Okay, sorry.
That's
okay.
That's normally a Matthew thing. I know.
I was like reading it, and I'm like, oh, crud.
Matthew's wife texted Field, and he tried to respond.
You know what, Field? How about Field? Why don't you just toss me to the tight ends?
Let's go to the tight ends. Tell me about those.
Let's start with Evan Engram. The Giants are really dealing with issues with all their pass catchers. Evan Engram had an ankle/calf injury. We haven't been made aware of much of the details, but Joe Judge saying that he, I think the words he used were a gray area. But uncertainty for Evan Engram's availability for week one. So Evan Engram may not be able to play at the start of the season. They have Kyle Rudolph, who had a foot surgery as well. He was activated from the physically unable to perform list, but no guarantee that he's available week one. He himself said he still has a long way to go. Obviously, Irv Smith of the Vikings out for multiple months after undergoing a meniscus repair. And in New England, Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, both dealing with minor injuries start the season or the preseason, but both expected to be available week one.
And what more can you tell us on DJ Chark and Marvin Jones in Jacksonville?
Just to reiterate.
That's amazing.
Do you know what you need to do?
All right. You know, I feel the thing is, you'll feel bad about that. Matthew's like, come on.
Tune again tomorrow.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry. Right.
Look, all I know is I'm still waiting to hear about Marvin Jones and DJ Chark. Can someone,
for the record, it's actually not Tuesday, just because I wanted to make sure I corrected that for you so you don't like show up to something that you normally do on Tuesdays.
Okay.
Like, what do you do on Tuesdays normally? Bowling night or something?
Yeah,
yoga.
Sure. That's what I do on Tuesdays.
Darts league.
Normally on Tuesdays we do the podcast. We do rankings and in season, and then I set waivers for like 25 different leagues.
Important.
Yeah, and then I usually start in on writing Love Hate. So
what you really should be doing though is going to the gym.
Oh,
but you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated.
Why do you always look at me during that?
Because you literally need to get into the gym more.
Okay. Wow.
Make Fiverr energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. We all know you sometimes do not want to go to the gym or literally never want to go to the gym. So take a Fiverr energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness so you can get to the gym. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There is a flavor for everyone. Try them all. On the site, you even have the option to build your own 12 or 24 pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, and that is the number 5hourenergy.com, you can get some 5-Hour Energy product today, and you can use the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription or orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today.
Do you ever feel like you want to punch something?
No. Yes.
Yes. Fight Camp brings the boxing and kickboxing gym right to your home with full body workouts that you'll actually look forward to and a freestanding punching bag that can take your hardest hits. Fight Camp is made for beginners to experienced boxers who want to box from home, with several different paths you can follow that teach you the skills along the way, paired with workouts to reinforce your new learnings. There's also new content being released weekly that covers a range of easy to advanced. It comes with all the gear you need in the box at home, including a free standing punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and their unique punch tracking sensor that... Why are you looking at me like this? Stefania is so excited about it. She wants this so badly. With a unique punch tracking sensors that challenge you to hit minimum amount of punches each round and allow you to track your boxing and kickboxing journey so you can see all the progress that you're making. Fight Camp uses new tech that tracks each punch that you throw in order to measure speed, volume, and output so you can follow your progress, push yourself to compete in the community leaderboard, and challenge others to do that, as well as you versus you on the new versus mode. You can pay for your Fight Camp over 24 months for less than the cost of a boxing gym and get it right away. Plus, Fight Camp offers free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/FFF to get free shipping on Fight Camp. Go to joinfightcamp.com/FFF. I think all of us in the podcast want this. Hook us up, Fight Camp.
Yep.
Please.
joinfightcamp.com/FFF.
All right, Christian McCaffrey is a man who needs no introduction. He, of course, is the Panthers All-Pro running back, and he's presented by Body Armor. Joining us today on behalf of Body Armor, and, well, Panthers All-Pro running back would suffice. In the world of fantasy football, we also just call you the cheat code. So, Christian, it's great to have you here joining us on the Fantasy Focus. I'll start here. How frequently do either friends and family members or fans on the street come up and talk to you or ask you about fantasy football?
Yeah, it's definitely a common conversation with most people that I talk to. You know, my family knows better not to bring it up. it's funny, you know, I'm either everybody's best friend or I'm hated by many. So You know, it's obviously a good way to get people involved in the game, but definitely a common talking point for me.
Yeah, by the way, everybody's best friend, Christian, this is Matthew Berry. Everybody's best friend or hated by millions? Yeah, that's me too. Welcome to my world. I appreciate it. But you help fantasy managers a lot more than I do. No question about that. All right, I got a question for you. Listen, I know you love all of them. We know that. Asked and answered. But if you were in a fantasy draft and you had to pick one between DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Terrace Marshall, who are you taking? Again, this isn't about talent. This is about what you're seeing on the practice field. Who's getting the ball more from Sam Darnold? This isn't on you. This is who Sam's looking for the most.
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here. I'll tell you what. I think it's illegal for me to give out insider information about my teammates and all that stuff. And so I'm going to plead the fifth on this one and just say I think all three are going to have an awesome year.
Good answer. Hey, Christian, it's Stefania Bell here. As the resident physical therapist on our podcast, it's my job to explain injuries to our audience. But I know from experience that athletes give way better descriptions. So I want to ask you if you can tell us what exactly a high ankle sprain feels like and why is it so problematic for a running back?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a tough question. Obviously, it doesn't feel good. You know, not being able to run is never a good thing as a running back, hence the name running back. But yeah, I mean, any injury, you know, guys play banged up all the time, but that's just one of those injuries that affects your ability to run, to cut, and to really play football. So that's why it takes a little bit of time.
Christian, you brought up Sam Darnold just a moment ago. We were asking you about him, but let's dive a little bit deeper into Sam, who's just 24 years old somehow. He's been in the league for 3 years already. He is your new starting quarterback. What have you seen so far from him in training camp, and what might the outlook be for him in this offense with so many gifted weapons around him?
Yeah, Sam's been awesome. He, you know, from day one, he's been the same guy. He's a very poised player, which I love. You know, he throws it to the open guy. He obviously has a great arm and is extremely talented, and he's a great leader in the huddle, you know, and that's something that, you know, you obviously want, but he's great at making it easy on us, you know, as long as everybody does their job and, you know, he's got time, he's going to be a great quarterback as he already is. So I'm excited to share the huddle with him.
Christian, want to turn back to fantasy here for a second. So the obvious one is Run CMC, but is there a fantasy football team name that you've heard about yourself that you appreciate?
Oh, man, I wouldn't know that answer. I think you guys would know that answer a lot better than me, and I would love to hear it.
All right, you would love to hear it. So here you go. I asked some of my followers for their best Christian McCaffrey-inspired fantasy football team names. There's a lot that I can't print or say on air. I'll just say that. But of the ones that are Disney friendly, I want your reaction to some of these because I think some of these are pretty good. So obviously Run CMC came up a lot, but Christian McFantasy Points.
That's pretty good.
All right. Catch 22.
Yeah.
If I get a fishing boat, that's what I was going to name my fishing boat. So right now that's gold.
Yeah. I mean, listen, by the way, I think you've earned a fishing boat. C-Mac Attack.
That's pretty good. I think creativity lacks, you know, I've heard it.
Right. All right.
So far, catch 22 so far. Is in the lead.
Okay, great. CMC Touchdown Factory.
That's kind pretty
of,
good.
Yeah, kind of a play on the 80s group, the CMC Music Factory.
Yep. That's good. Good, not great. Like
okay. CMC me at the top.
Yeah, play on words, great. Creativity is pretty good. So that's a close to the top.
All right, two more. McSee and Destroy.
Pretty good. I like to play on words.
All right. I just got texted one other one. So two more. Live McCaffrey or Die Hard.
These are good. These are good.
And then the last one, I think this one might be my personal favorite. Sex Panther. 100% of the time, he scores every time.
That's my cake. Obviously, Anchorman, one of my favorite movies. I think it's 70% of the time, but I like 100% of the time better.
Yeah. I think 60% of the time is what Brian Fontana says. But yes. Yeah. But we agree. 100% of the time, you score every time. All right.
Just for, you know, the purity of the show, I'm going to stick with Catch-22 because I know you like that one. Your background as a multi-sport athlete is well documented, as is your training regimen. And my question to you is, coming off the year that you had where you said, you know, you were just unlucky, how did you change or alter your training regimen, both physically and mentally, coming into an 18-week season?
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you get hurt, I think one thing guys do that is sometimes overreact, and I didn't want to do that. You know, I've trained a certain way for a long time now, and I've had a lot of success doing it. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. That's the way it goes. You know, it's football. You know, guys get hurt, and I think, you know, you don't try to reinvent the wheel. And obviously, I don't even like talking about injuries. I actually hate it, just because I, you know, I'm so moved on. It's not a good thing to think about, and so I'm just continuing to move on, and I feel great right now. But part of it, I think, is just, you know, obviously there's physical preparation and being able to, you know, approach training in a certain way and physically feel ready for the game. And that's where, you know, training, your diet, your sleep, your hydration, obviously why I'm here with Body Armor, which is a brand that has been so good to me and so great for me in my training. But also there's the mental preparation, which is, you know, knowing your position, knowing defenses, knowing your, you know, the playbook, all that. And then there's emotional as well. And I think whenever something like that happens, all three of those get affected in some way or the other. And the biggest thing you can do in the off season is just do your best to reset all three of those and get back to who you know you can be. And it's definitely a full-time job and a full-time process, but that's the part that you got to fall in love with.
As we mentioned earlier, Christian, you are joining us courtesy of Body Armor. And you may not know this. I've got a bottle of Body Armor in my hand right now. And an essential ingredient for being a great podcaster is drinking Body Armor electrolyte-infused water. What can you tell us about the importance between your relationship and with Body Armor and your fitness, your wellness, and your ability to be at your best on Sundays?
Yeah, it'll help you make the right fantasy pick if you drink Body Armor. No, but I've been with Body Armor for a few years now, and it's a product to me that's really easy to promote because I believe in it. Obviously my health is very important to me. And so everything I put in my body matters, you know, from the water, from the electrolyte drinks to the, you know, to the food, et cetera. So, you know, Body Armor is a brand that has no artificial ingredients, very low sugar. It has no, you know, it's a drink for me that I can drink pre, during and post training or practice. And so it's just a better for you sports drink, in my opinion, and it's done wonders for me, and I feel good drinking it.
Christian, I love to hear that, because all of us are in a dynasty fantasy league, which is where you keep players on your roster year over year over year. You can keep a player for their entire career. And I personally have Christian McCaffrey on my dynasty team. So thank you very much. Want you on the field, helping the Panthers win, helping me win. I have a question for you, though. I follow the Panthers on TikTok, and I saw a TikTok recently of, like, no one giving you love, no one giving you a high five when you come by, no one giving you daps. Like, what do we got to do to get your teammates to recognize you, give you some love? What's going on?
I don't know, man. Look, it's sometimes, you know, it's your own people. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if I think my form might be a little bit off. The high five might be a little too low. So I'm going to start making it, you know, very obvious that I want to dap up and see if that changes. So, you know, it's as in football, you're always taught to point the thumb, not the finger. So maybe this whole thing's on me, and then I'm going to try to get better. But if not, you know, something's wrong. I'll have to address the guys for sure.
Well, it clearly, while you were rehabbing your ankle in the offseason, also maybe something else to work on in the offseason, improving your game. We finally found a flaw in Christian McCaffrey's game. It's his dap ability.
That's right.
It's how I felt talking to my fantasy owners last year, too. Every time I try to talk to them, you just get the cold shoulder. You know, they don't like you when you're not playing.
Hey, well, Tom Brady's been left hanging many times throughout his career looking for a high five. It's worked out pretty well for him. We expect and hope future success for you, like Tom Brady has had. And a man who, when he's not playing concert-level piano, enjoys scoring touchdowns on Sundays in NFL games. Christian McCaffrey, we still thank you for joining us here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast.
Appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
All right, great stuff there from Christian. And
some would call that the definitive Christian McCaffrey interview.
It's probably a career highlight for him, too,
obviously,
if you think about it.
So the great definitive. Do you think he'll probably stop talking to the press because he's like, it's not going to get any better than that?
Man, so, he might retire
like,
from
he probably tells the Panthers PR guy, like, no more interviews. I'm not doing any more. I'm done. I'm good. Like,
come off a high.
Put that on Mount Rushmore, and I'm done. I'm out.
So he is incredible at football.
Yeah.
He literally is amazing at piano as well.
Seen that.
Right? Like, he's got a couple things going for him in life. Pretty good. Pretty impressive.
Does.
Obviously, good interview as well. So we so appreciate Christian McCaffrey and Body Armor for making that possible. Great stuff there from CMC. Catch 22.
Yeah. I kind of liked Sex Panther.
I think he was into it.
I think he was
just
too.
Like a little caught off guard.
Well, it's an Anchorman reference for anyone wondering. And that he mentioned that in the interview that that's one of his favorite movies of all time. It's so a great movie. It's a classic.
Little cohesion right there.
So yeah. Anyway, listen, he's the consensus number one. We're all excited, and I think it's a testament to his ability that after a disappointing year last year for him and the Panthers and fantasy managers, that everyone's just like, no, he's still the clear number one. Stop.
No
what are
doubt
we doing
about that? All right, so great show, and Stefania with excellent insight as usual. That's going to do it for today's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. There is no show on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. Actually, I will not, but the rest of the gang will be. I'll talk to you guys Wednesday. For everybody else, Matthew, Stefania, Daniel, they'll be back on Tuesday talking about players that are on your waiver wire but should not be on your waiver wire right now.
Yeah.
Hey, enjoy your happy, healthy Labor Day weekend.
Yeah,
everybody.
Have a great, healthy, happy, whatever. Just have a Labor Day weekend. And
don't labor that much.
Don't sweat it too much like I just did. And by the way, go BC. Good luck to the Eagles.
Go game tomorrow, baby.
Go
Cuse.
Miami.
Go Chippewas. Go
you.
Go Princeton. Go Aggies. Giga Mags. All right, for all of us here, have a great holiday. We'll see you on Tuesday. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Haynesworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.